hopefully I've got Margaret on here.
Yes, I'm here.
My word, it works. I'm always amazed when this actually works as it's supposed to.
The miracle of technology, Scott.
Unbelievable. Now, I hear that you were a guest on the arts program yesterday afternoon. Tomorrow you're back on the show about Witham, so perhaps it's time for you to have your own program.
Well, it's a fiendish plot on my part to take over the airwaves, but don't tell anyone.
Take it over the station. Now, today your chosen book concerns an artist, and I have to confess that when you first told me that this choice, I was almost overcome with excitement. Partly because, if I'm totally honest, I'd never heard of him, but clearly I'm in the minority, so you better come clean and tell us more.
Yeah, I'm sorry, you definitely need to get out more.
Clearly.
Yeah, this is, you can be forgiven for not knowing, though. This is an artist called Stanley Spencer, who died in 1959.
Yeah.
So quite a long while ago now. And, he had a very unique take on what he painted, the world around him. And, you might say eccentric.
Yeah.
If you listen to his grandson, you would say a genius, but also a pain in the neck. And it was two books, actually, I was going to look at.
Mm.
Volume 1 and Volume 2 of the Stanley Spencer story. But unfortunately, Volume 2 has been delayed, the publication.
All right.
So I'm looking at Looking to Heaven, Volume 1. On Stanley Spencer.
Right, okay.
And this is written by his only grandchild, John Spencer.
So although it says it's an autobiography, isn't that's not strictly the truth, is it?
No, not really. No, it isn't. I will say, though, with Spencer, he wrote extensively about himself.
Yeah.
There's plenty of material. Because, I mean, it's a biography, but there's journals, there's letters, you know. I think every scrap of paper that he ever wrote on, he saved.
Yeah.
So, you know, there was no shortage of material, even though his grandson actually never met him because he died before John was born. So, but, yeah, I mean, the Volume 1 deals with Spencer's life from the time he was born in 1890 up until his experiences in the First World War.
Mm-hmm.
He served on active combat, also served as a hospital orderly at one point, and Volume 1 sort of ends after the First World War. Volume 2, that is due out any time soon now, will deal with his life when he returns after the First World War.
Right.
And home was Cookham in Berkshire, little village of Cookham.
Right.
In Berkshire.
Now I gather that the sources were notebooks, diaries, letters and everything.
Yeah.
That as you say, he seemed to have had virtual verbal diarrhea, so it must have been a Herculean task to pull all the material together.
Well, I think he's grandson has been working on this, well, both books, and
yeah.
I understand that there's a Volume 3 planned
right.
as well, but I think he's been working on these for years,
right.
in addition to his day job, as it were,
right.
which increasingly today is just being a writer about his grandfather.
Well, you're going to say it was going to be an awful lot of work involved. So anyway, taking a look at this first one, Looking to Heaven, tell us a bit more about it.
Yes. Now, Spencer, he had a very deeply religious man, brought up in obviously, born 1890, large families were the norm. He was one of 8 children, so lots of siblings. Religious family, went to church on every Sunday. Spencer's Spencer was very interested in biblical stories. But when it came to art, I mean, art, literature and the Bible were his things.
Mm.
And when it came to inspiration for his art, he took the stories out of biblical times.
Mm.
So he takes the biblical element out of the Bible and he brings it up to the modern day. So, for example, you have a painting of Christ carrying his cross through the streets of Cookham.
Oh, right.
Wearing modern-day clothing.
Mm-hmm.
So it is quite an unusual take on, especially for the times, of a lot of people considered that his work was verging on blasphemous. Really? Oh, yeah, absolutely, yes. In the 1920s, I mean, there was a post-First World War, there was a bit of a debate about religion, whether religion was obsolete.
Mm.
Anyway, but this is the time when Spencer is really becoming well-known, and he had several very high-profile commissions
yeah.
that brought him into public notice. And his work was contentious. Yeah, I mean, bringing Bible stories up to date.
Yeah.
And also using the villagers of Cookham as his biblical characters.
And yet, I understood that a lot of his paintings were actually landscapes.
He did do landscapes. He called them potboilers.
Well, because they made him money.
Yes. they kept food on the table.
Yeah.
And absolutely right. I mean, his first love was interpreting the Bible. He'd take stories from the Bible, whether that was the miracle at Cana turning water into wine, the miracle of the fishes, whether it was Palm Sunday, Christ coming into Jerusalem. Whatever the story might be, he took it and he set it in the modern day Cookham, and he used the villagers. I might add, not always with their permission.
Right.
I mean, it's one painting in particular of the crucifixion, and he, you know, he just took one of the villagers and decided to make him one of the people banging in the nails.
Really?
And that did not go down well.
Not if you were recognised.
But of course, that would never have occurred to Stanley Spencer.
Yeah.
You know, if he got the inspiration, that was it, and everything
yeah.
else was secondary. But yeah, he takes these stories. His answer when people said to him why was, well, what occurred in the Bible could have also occurred in Cookham. Now, you can't argue with that, can you? Really?
No. So what of the book? Was it an easy read? And who would be most likely to enjoy it?
Well, I mean, you might think from what I'm saying that you'd have to have a real interest in art
yeah.
to want to read it. But to me, it is a fascinating life story of a man who, yes, he was very eccentric. Yes, I should think he could be maddening to live with, but he's interesting from that point of view, but also because of this unique take he had on the world. And he wasn't pretentious about art. So if you read the book, it's not full of words and expressions that you need to translate if you don't understand art history, for example.
Yeah.
Stanley Spencer firmly believed, you know, that art was for the masses.
Right.
And his life story is a great story. His paintings are unusual. No, you may not like them. A lot of people don't.
Mm.
A lot of people absolutely adore them. I mean, I think he's one of his paintings that I can remember going up for auction about 5 years ago went for something like $5 million.
Dear me.
but, you know, his paintings are accessible. And people
yeah.
smile when they look. It's not Bible stories
uh-huh.
that are very serious and very dull and very gloomy and all about people dying. They actually bring a smile to your face. And I think we can all do with that.
Not quite
at
right.
At the moment.
So, did you enjoy the book?
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
And are you looking forward to the next one?
I am. I've got right. to confess that I am fond of Spencer's work.
All right.
I like it.
In which case, you better remind us of the book details, the titles, etc.
Yes, it's called Looking to Heaven, Volume 1, Stanley Spencer, by John Spencer.
Okay, fair enough. Well, we better see. We'll put all the details, of course, up on the website a bit later on. Have you decided what book you're going to choose for next month yet?
Well, with Supreme Powers of Organisation. I have.
I'm impressed beyond measure.
I can tell. Yes, I'm going for a book called An Ordinary Life by a lady called Amanda Prowse.
An Ordinary Life.
An Ordinary Life.
By Amanda...
Amanda Prowse. Prowse. And I hope I've pronounced
it. Prowse.
That's
Prowse. Oh, Prowse, right. Okay, I've got it. I've got yes. the name wrong. All right, well, we'll look forward to that.